Despite Pepkor reporting overall revenue up almost 4%, COVID-19 cost the group an estimated $5 billion in annual revenue, and the group's headline earnings per share fell back 21% as well. Company CEO Leon Lawrence joins us now to make better sense of the numbers. Thanks so much, Leon, for your time this evening. So you've reported an estimated 5 billion rand in lost revenue, taking you to a 3 billion rand loss from a profit of over 2 billion previously, despite having managed to grow sales and gain market share. So talk us through the disconnect here. It's all on the back of write-downs, right?
Yes, it's on the back of a few things. Firstly, I mean, the 5 billion rand loss in revenue, it's very difficult to replace that. We did a good job of recovering most of it, but that's still a loss in the system. Then there was still an increase in expenses during the year, as you can imagine. We kept it very low. If you include the building company, our expenses grew by less than 2%, which is exceptional, but it's still more than it was last year. And then there's also debtors cost and the provisioning on the credit books that we had to provide for. And that basically made a big difference. So that's quite a sizable amount that led to us dropping on operating profit.
Leon, you've written down your business by 4.8 billion rand. Talk us through that and the downside that you're having to protect or mitigate against.
Well, that's also caused to a large extent by COVID. We've got a lot of goodwill and intangibles on our balance sheet, as you would have seen, and in cases like this where you do a 10-year projection on the future and the future projected income, then obviously COVID impacts on those numbers tremendously over such a long period of time. Together with that, there was also a weighted average cost of capital that increased over compared to last year. And then the businesses that are marginal are always there's always the potential or the probability that they could decrease in terms of the goodwill that's on the balance sheet. So the businesses that got affected most is obviously Africa. Mm-hmm. And you can understand that in the current situation, it's very difficult to do projections for the business in Africa. Shoe City, which had a very difficult trading period because of the COVID circumstances. Techie Town is another one. And altogether, yes, that was the 4.8 billion.
Yeah.
But that's write-downs on your goodwill and intangibles, and it's caused by all those various factors that makes your earnings potential over 10 years a bit lower.
Yeah.
The good news is that good businesses like Pep and Ackermans, there was obviously no write-down. It's not necessary. And we believe that they will continue to perform at the levels that they have.
Having said that, while you boast, you know, this increase in market share and the sales that has managed to gain traction even in a depressed economy, Leon, you also talk about risk as you anticipate this increase in unpaid consumer accounts. Are you already starting to see signs of distress filter through?
No, the signs currently are quite positive, and our collections on those credit books are actually better than expected. But you know, we decided to take a conservative and prudent approach. It's still uncertain how exactly this economy will play out in the next year or so. And that's why we provided sufficiently for it.
Have you fully leveraged now off your margin potential? Because one's left wondering just how much more competitive you can get if things start to deteriorate even further. Or do you rely on those middle income spenders filtering through to you nevertheless?
I think there's a bit of both. We believe that middle income spenders will shop down. I think we're already seeing that to an extent. And just the affordability of our products and the pricing strategies that we follow in the discount and value sectors, I think that really count in our favor during this type of circumstance. You know, that sort of defensive market positioning really helps, together with obviously the fact that you sell more basic, essential and replenishment stock. So I think there's a lot of things that play in our favor at the moment, and that's probably why from a revenue perspective, we've done relatively well.
Yeah. While you talk about that, Leon, on the other side of the coin as well, one wonders if you perhaps start to lose those who are already bottom buying and are now searching for even further value. How much of a challenge has the second-hand market become for you? Things like a marketplace on Facebook, because it's ramped up its significance or its prominence significantly in some of those lower end categories?
I don't think that's a big threat for us as yet. The threat is more unemployment, as you say, and you say that and correctly say, is that you have people falling out the bottom of the market, you know, because of unemployment. So where somebody might have earned, for argument's sake, 5,000 Rand for a lower level job without a job, they earn 1,000 Rand or 1,500 Rand on a social grant. So there's definitely less disposable income in that regard.
Yes,
you lose some at the bottom, you gain some at the top, but as long as you win on aggregate, I think you're okay.
Leon, we've had much of the focus on Ackermans and Shoe City, but that one thing, how about Hi-Fi Corporation, and with Black Friday especially coming up, can you afford to get as promotional as you've been in the past?
Well, I'll tell you, the greatest sales that we've been able to achieve has been from Incredible Connection, who's absolutely had a bumper a year after, or bumper few months after COVID. A lot of that is driven by the typical Black Friday products like television sets, electronics, appliances, etc. So both those businesses, Incredible Connection and Hi-Fi Corporation, have performed very well. As far as Black Friday is concerned, for the moment, it's very difficult to compare to last year because Black Friday is now spread over a whole month in the case of most retailers. So it's very, very difficult to make comparisons, but we're positive that we'll get a number that is more or less on the same level as we had last year.
Before I let you go, Leon, you say you've been conservative with cash. You're not declaring a dividend, but you're still considering expansion driven mainly by PEP and Ackermans. What spend are you directing that way? And does it start to impact your net debt levels, which you have seen a vast improvement on?
Yes, you would have seen on the net debt levels that that's almost a 7 billion Rand improvement on the previous year. So that looks pretty good. As far as expansion is concerned, PEP and Ackermans are very robust, feasible, strong models, and we continue to expand as far as that is concerned. But we have pulled back on expansion in other areas like Africa, like speciality, like the furniture businesses. So we've pulled back on the one side. But where we have good models that give good returns, we continue to invest.
Let's leave it there, Leon. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Leon Lawrence is CEO of PEPCO.